frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
operator, give me the number for 911.
Come on. Come on.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to Shazam. Sure blew that one out of the water. Had the doggone lock talk button on and trying to figure out another deal right there. Well, maybe we can salvage the whole mess. Anyway, I put a couple links into the chat room over at Shazam Radio and Awake Radio and a couple videos that kind of wanted to talk about, and I think I'm going to be joined by Dublin and Muddy and somebody else here pretty soon. But what have we learned since we've been working on alternative energy here over here, Shazam, Mad Science, and all the other networks out there? The first video that I put in there was one that Deeds did, and he was running an incandescent light bulb in between the ground on his receiver coil on the Tesla deal, the wireless energy transmission that he was doing. And I think it's pretty significant that that incandescent light bulb's lighting up. I have my own theories on why it is that you can actually get an incandescent light bulb to light up at that frequency rate. So, I'm apologizing with that. I'm gonna throw on another quick tune right here and see if I can get something sorted. Doggone it! Ay ay ay.
We'll be right back.
Hello, everybody. Back. Apologize for that. I'm trying to broadcast on another network as well, and had a little bit of technical problems going on, which we'll have to resolve later. I apologize for that. Anyway, what I was trying to say is Deeds, he's doing some pretty amazing work over there, along with Ryan Abrams is doing some really amazing work with the Slayer Exciters, and Terry Woodruff is also doing some amazing work with that. And so, with that said, in the alternative energy community, we've got, I know at the very least, the lighting portion of the spectrum handled. I mean, with the I made a Slayer Exciter with a 9-volt battery and was able to light up quite a few light bulbs, running them in series with one another. So, you know, outside of everything else that it, your energy needs, at least the very least, we can get lighting pretty simple. There's also all kinds of other alternative methods for lighting, such as there's a place where they took and took some 2-liter bottles and they filled them up with some use different things, from distilled water to mineral oils or stuff like that, to they put these in the ceiling, and the sun would refract through them and into inside the house there and get some pretty good lighting. Well, using that concept and some fiber optic concepts, you could actually pipe that light around the corner and down into the basement or wherever. So during the daytime, lighting would be super simple to do, and at nighttime, you'd only have to have enough energy to do your lighting that way. Be you know, battery banks for solar panels or wind turbines and that kind of stuff. Then on the heating spectrum, there's all kinds of different methods out there, like the wood gasifier and you know, steam heat. And then Muddy also talked about using compost heating, where you essentially roll up a coil of hose up underneath some rotting compost and get some water heat out of that kind of deal there. Solar heating, there's all kinds of little devices out there, such as window solar heaters that are made with pop cans that you can put up in your window to circulate some heat off the sun into your house. Of course, now if you're in the area where you don't have any of that, there's where the trick lies. But I believe, and from watching all these other videos, that if you can light up a tungsten element, heat is light and light is heat, vice versa. So if you can find the specific frequency that it takes to vibrate that tungsten element to the extreme and not have to use nearly as much energy input to do it, kind of like if you think about how your speakers work. I'm looking into getting me a really good signal generator that go all the way from 0 hertz all the way up into the megahertz and kilohertz range, so that I can run some tests on some old tungsten element light bulbs, everything from 12 volts all the way up as high as I can find, and see what it takes, which frequency it takes to actually get that tungsten element to vibrate. That's the key. When that energy is going through there, part of what's happening is resistance, obviously, but then again, there's part of it that has to do with the actual element itself vibrating and creating friction, which in turn creates heat and gives off light. So, if any of my theories are even remotely close to where they need to be, then I believe that you should be able to send the right frequency signal down through that tungsten element and come out the other side with visible light slash heat. And the next thing on the list there was, they call it magnetic hydrodynamic motors that they've been tinkering around with, essentially guiding the water through a magnetic field and shooting it out the other side. I put a little video, and there's actually two videos, one where the little Boy Scout guys are They're talking about the concepts of how that actually works. Sending a magnetic field out and guiding the water. You know, water is a dipole molecule. It has both a positive and a negative field on it. So when you're shooting that through the magnetic field and out the other side, you get some sort of propulsion. The one video he actually takes and puts in some ink so that you can see that there's water moving there, and you can actually physically see the little boat that he made, which is not a very good boat, but you can actually see that it's moving. So there's all kinds of different research going on out there. YouTube's a pretty good resource area for going out and seeing what everybody's working on. There's everything from solar to hydrogen. I did see one of these boats that was supposedly being used by magnetic hydrodynamic propulsion that I believe had more of a hydrogen cell kind of deal going on to it, because it was spitting out some crud out the back of it, and that's obviously not something I think would be a good idea. Polluting up the water while you're trying to use it. However, you can go back to the whole pop boat concept that we were talking about way back when, and you could build you a solid state motor that would work like the scaled down version of the pop boat, or putt boat, whatever you want to call it. There is a video on Shaziz Radio. I can remember which link I put it in. I think it was in the Virtual Labs link. Let me jump over there real quick and take a peek. Which we're still working on, Virtual Lab, but to some extent we've already been doing Virtual Labs on Skype, so we're hoping to get something more user-friendly for everybody. Yeah, there's two videos over there off of the... at least one video over there off of the Virtual Labs link on ShazizRadio.com, and that'll give you some general idea what it is I'm talking about. That plus there was the next second video that I put up for the pop boat contest that we tried to run. Of course, to my surprise, we really didn't get any entries in that contest. Don't understand what's going on there, but either way, we're probably going to give that a second go and see if we can get more interest in it. And we're going to be doing the Electroman contest if we get any interest in that as well. All of these things that I'm talking about, the Electroman contest and pop boat contest, and there was a couple other pulse motor contests that Russ from RWG Research put on, and a Slayer Exciter contest that was out there. All these, I think, are, you know, beneficial. You know, not only could you have a little fun and learn a little bit of something, but they're also beneficial towards finding more than what you started off with these ideas. They're expanding on them. They're building on these ideas. In the alternative energy community, you got a lot of jokers out there running around trying to discourage everybody and his brother from thinking outside the box, and that's one of the things that frustrates the heck out of me, is that instead of somebody looking at an idea and thinking, well, where can I take that idea? Maybe it's not necessarily going to work with the way that this individual is showing me in the video, but there is something going on here that I can expand on. And that's the whole deal, opening the minds to thinking outside the box. This isn't about one person getting famous. If you're into alternative energy to get famous, well, I'm sorry, but there's a lot of really good guys out there like Tesla that, you know, although they were famous, they never made no fortune off the deal. They pretty much got ripped off. The whole idea that I'm in it for is not for fame nor fortune, but to try to benefit this world a little bit better than what it already is, you know. Open sourcing ideas. I get ideas all the time that I just sling out there and hope that somebody grabs it and runs with it, you know. It's my belief we should be so much further advanced in technology than what we are right now. And, you know, all the conspiracy theories aside, I mean, it's blatantly obvious that somebody's trying to make money, and so they don't want you to be saying certain things and showing people things, lost and hidden technology, whatever. I call it suppressed technology, and some folks are like, well, you know, what's been suppressed? It's a whole lot being suppressed. It's either that or it's just not being taught, you know? You know, there's all kinds of things in history, really fascinating devices that were out there that should have been expanded on. And even if some of them may have turned out to be a bit dangerous, you know, there was still something to be learned from it. There's something to be learned from every single, you know, scientific-based device. And so, you know, this is what I hope to accomplish by this show and this website and my YouTube channel, is to getting people out there to thinking outside the box. I'm not the only one that's out there doing this kind of stuff. There's other people out there trying to open people's minds up. You know, their research and my research will complement each other. We'll find things that we never even knew existed, like I didn't tell yesterday, know that anybody was working on any kind of magnetic hydrodynamic motors or stuff like that, you know. It's an interesting idea, and from what I've seen so far with the little prototypes that they've done, they don't seem to be that impressive as far as power-wise. But then again, it hasn't been perfected as much as it could have been. You know, if this idea was expanded on, and you know that you could actually move water through this motor, which is essentially a solid-state motor, no moving parts, you could move water through this motor with magnetism, and you could generate a strong enough magnetic field, then you could actually get that speed built up inside that motor, a lot more pressure. So anyway, that's the reason for that whole deal right there, the two videos that I popped up in there. If you get an opportunity to take a look at them, I'm not sure what exactly year they came out, but people were out there and they were researching that stuff. And as far as the wireless energy transmissions, like I said, Ryan Abrams and Terry and Deeds and a bunch of other people out there, G. Bleuer, and there's just so many of them out there that are working with wireless energy, and they're coming across some really amazing results. And, you know, I'm always fascinated to see something new in there. I'm really impressed with the whole lighting up of tungsten element light bulbs. That's where you got my attention on that deal right there. Because maybe this wireless energy won't stretch far with the circuit that we've got right at the moment. But it can. It can be amplified. It also, at the strength that it is on a smaller scale, could actually help in some of my plasma research instead of using super high voltage to generate plasma. Then maybe I can figure out the frequency rate at which it takes to seriously energize argon gas into the plasma state and do what it is that I'm trying to do. Trying to build a really good tuner, a signal generator, and from that point on work towards proven theories that I have about frequency ranges and being able to target specific electrons and such to generate electricity flow. Will I accomplish it? I hope so, and I will keep working towards that goal. But in the meantime, if you're in need of alternative energy, there's a wide variety of ways that you can go about it that don't have to cost you a lot of money. You know, building a generator is simple. As far as how much power you're going to get out of that generator, it just depends on how well you can actually build it. Muddy's made some really nice wind generators, actual flux wind turbine. He's got some really good videos on that. There's all kinds of motors out there. Terry and them's working with the MX-13 motors that, from what I understand, are getting out of old air conditioning units And they're doing some pretty amazing things with those as well. There's also permanent magnet motors and a whole lot of different things, such as like treadmills, that some of them right out of the gate will generate some power. There's everything out there from earth batteries to chemical batteries. So if you're trying to supplement your alternative or your normal energy usage for some sort of natural or whatever alternative energy methods, there's plenty of ways to do it. There's solar power out there, which you don't have to get super high tech with. There's wind energy. If you live near a stream, you got hydroelectrics that you could do, you know, a big water wheel. And as long as that stream's running, it'll continuously be turning a generator head. So it's not like we can't do it. It's just about recycling what you got around you and figuring out what kind of resources you have available that you can afford right out of the gate. Now, hopefully somebody will come out soon with some really decent alternative energy designs, but from what I've seen so far, it's it's not quite where it needs to be just yet, and some folks are trying to figure out ways that they can get filthy, stinking rich, and then, Meanwhile, back at the ranch, everyone's out there fighting over natural resources in the world. You know, it's really disgusts me. We talk about, wars over oil, and soon maybe possibly war over water and food and everything under the sun. It's just, we've been given such an amazing gift, this world that we live in, with all the resources, and for people to want to sit there and fight over that, you know, it just boggles my mind. I don't understand it. So with that said, I thought somebody was going to be calling in, but I guess they changed their mind. Anyway, there's a whole lot of YouTubers out there that are doing some really good research, and I'm trying to put as many links on here on Shaziz Radio to those researchers as I come in contact with them, and then you can also check out my YouTube channel over there on YouTube, Shaziz, over there on YouTube, and there's also links in there, recommended channels to other researchers out there that are doing some work in alternative energy. So if you're an alternative energy researcher and you're interested in jumping in here and helping out with some of your ideas and tools and designs, and hey, this is what it's all about, bringing all these brilliant minds from all over the globe together and getting something done. You know, I got an $800 bill last winter running a big old heat pump system out on the side of the house. $800 is a whole lot to pay for electricity as far as where I'm at, but there's other people out there in this world, because of carbon taxes and stuff like that, are paying an astronomical amount more than that. And then the more that alternative energy gets into play and people are looking more towards alternative energy resources, now you got people trying to tax the sun. You got people trying to tax the wind. If you're not on their power grid, then they want to throw some extra bills your way. It's not right. You know, on one hand, somebody's telling you to reduce your carbon footprint, we got to save the planet and this and that and all this, and yet here you are trying to search up alternative energy methods, and you're getting taxed for it. You're basically getting punished or attacked for trying to do something right. Don't make any sense to me, because all this energy around us is from nature. In my opinion, it's from a gift from God. And so with that said, you know, nobody's got a right to throw taxes on that. And for those guys that are out there doing that kind of stuff, you know, hey, there may come a day when the whole power grid drops out from underneath you. There may come a day when you ain't got that control and people already figured out that they don't need you anymore and they're running their own generators and such. And, you know, where you try to find one hole and plug it up in the alternative energy, another one's going to pop up out of there. So if you try to ban or tax the solar panels, then people are going to get creative and figure out how to hide them in the wall. There's all kinds of methods, folks. Methods for heating your water, heating your house, and stuff like that. I'm trying to bring all these ideas out to the forefront, to the table here for everybody, and hope that they're benefiting you. We've been at this for quite some long time, and I just sometimes get so frustrated because we should be so much further advanced than what we are right now. There's a lot of brilliant minds out there, a lot of brilliant researchers, and I'd just love to see this world, go down a path to where we're all helping each other out instead of what we're doing. You know, if you're out there fighting over oil, you know, that's just, to me, hey, you're selling your oil too cheap and it's running my economy, so we got to come over and get you. You know, that's counterproductive to humanity as far as I'm concerned. Excuse me. Anyway, there's, like I said, there's so many ideas out there. Hydrogen technology, wood gasifier technology, there's many in the thermal portions of it. There's many in hydroelectrics and wind energy generation, people working on earth batteries, people working on crystal batteries. And if a person could build the holy grail of electricity, a perfect generator that would be there for the average Joe not to even have to understand necessarily how it functions, just that it does, and it does it safely, then that would be the key. But as far as everything goes right now, there's just so many roadblocks. So many roadblocks to being able to do what it is we need to do. I mean, everything's working inefficiently. I've got some electric heaters at my house that they'll go anywhere from, I think, 500 to 700 to 1500 watts. And they'll really tear down the juice, man. They'll kick off a breaker. If you put two of them on one circuit, it just kicks off the doggone breaker. So a whole lot of resistance there, a whole lot of heat being generated in just the wire. So what I'm trying to figure out is how to do the same amount of work without having to make the system itself work so hard. And I believe by looking at videos such as the ones that Deeds and Terry and them's doing, lighting up them tungsten elements, that frequencies are going to be the key. If you can get something to vibrate and resonate at a certain frequency, then you're going to be able to create friction, which in turn is going to create heat. Now, there's like I said, there was a resistance factor that plays in there with tungsten element, where, you know, you're slowing down the electron flow and it's actually creating a little bit of heat too. Either way, if you flex something fast enough, you vibrate it fast enough, you'll get it to heat up. And of course, that's pretty much what they do in water. You know, if you can take a microwave and you can send a short, fast wave through that dipole molecule and cause that water to create friction, which in turn creates heat and cooks your food, then that tells me that you're on something there. Because essentially, the end of that magnetron is nothing more than an antenna. You know, they always said don't ever stand next to these radio towers because, you know, the microwaves coming off, that'll fry you. But either way, there was heat potential right there. How much energy did they actually have to put to it to get it to produce that much energy? According to the basic laws of physics these days, energy can neither be created nor can it be destroyed, and you can never get out more than you put in, so on and so forth. But what if we're not trying to get out more than we put in? What if we're just trying to take and use it more efficiently by running it at the right frequency from the get-go, and to where it doesn't have to work near as hard to be able to do what it is that it's doing, so it doesn't put itself under a load? I believe that high voltage and frequency generators are actually going to be the key to figuring this all out. We know that we can light up a fluorescent light bulb using wireless energy. I've seen it done with a tungsten element as well. whether or not some of these folks out there are pulling shams or whatever, that's going to have to be sorted through to figure out what's what. But I have seen some wireless energy lighten up regular incandescent light bulbs, whether it be a small 7-watt one or whatever. Either way, that frequency vibrated that tungsten element enough that it actually produced visible light and heat. And so with that said, I think that that's the way to go. And so that's where my research leans as far as alternative energy generation and basically making something that's going to benefit humanity. If I can plug my 9-volt battery in and send the right frequency down and get some actual work or storage, energy storage out of that deal, and I'm not actually doing, you know, I'm not actually breaking any of the laws of physics. All I'm doing is using it more efficiently than what the initial system was designed to do. And that's my ultimate goal as far as that goes. I got so many different projects going on. I just think that there could be so much more research being done out there if we get the right folks together and we actually combine our resources and do what it is that I believe that we're capable of doing. I believe that we could actually resolve the so-called energy crisis of the world. That's what my hopes is anyway. That's what my ultimate goal is, to try to benefit society in that way. So with that said, and seeing how ain't nobody else showed up just yet, I guess I will throw on another tune for a moment or two and catch my breath and refill my coffee and all that kind of jazz. I'll start off with this cup of brown joy right here. Stay tuned, you're listening to Shazoo's Mad Science.
Come on. I would... Oh, God, yes. Oh, that is gorgeous. Yeah. I need a cup of the brown stuff, the shade of an acorn, made warm by the same source that I take my cakes from. Using a teapot, a mug, or fine china, been hooked up to ivy, need constant supplies, and a trip for my urges might verge on perverted, perverted brown tea. I'm certain it's worth it. With Sherpas who work hers and use a fresh fountain, I've discerned brews from Peruvian mountains. I've slurped up a cup from an elephant's trunk with a couple of monks who are utterly stunk. I've had bourbons with sultans and creams with queens, and I've bathed in Earl Grey. I'm really that keen, and missionaries dismiss me for my single epiphany. The difference between him and me is a simple sip of British tea. So when times are hard and life is rough, you can stick the kettle on and find me a cup. Now when I say Earl Grey, you say yes please, Earl Grey.
Yes please,
Earl Grey.
Yes please.
When I say Assam, you say lovely Assam.
Lovely
Assam.
Lovely.
When I say ooh, you say ah, ooh, ah, ooh. Around the world in 80 brews to see the place it takes me to make a brew that tastes like the cream cakes made by angels do. I'm not the same as you, get shaky but aim to swig amazing fluids but don't make it the same. Now using fine leaves picked by pretty maidens in a bag knitted by a seamstress who lives in Copenhagen, brewed up in a pot made of semi-precious metal, let the blessed content settle in my very special kettle. Now when I say ooh, you say long. Ooh,
long.
Ooh,
long.
When I say herbal, you say no thanks. Herbal.
No thanks.
Herbal.
No thanks.
No. No, I want milk in it. Strong though. I want to see that spoon stand up.
If you're tired of tea, then you're tired of blood.
I'm madder than a hatter and it fires my mic. Liken me to Earl Grey, a Sam or Ginger, Lapsang, Souchon, raise my pinky finger. Keep your sodding coffee in a proper cup of coffee. Bottoms spot me lobbing teapot to your Ponzi rotten coffee shop. Coffee clocks nodding off, lost the plot, sodding off. Need some caffeine tannin and a Battenberg to top it off. Cut them off a different cloth, a different lot can take their beer. On 80 cups a day, I haven't slept for 80 years. You could say I'm mad for tea or just say I'm mad. Oh, you can't stay any longer. Oh, actually, I'm quite glad. All the more Battenberg for me. I can barely pour, my hands have got a bit shaky from caffeine. Oh, I love it though. I'd sell my own grandma for a cup. Well, I'd sell your grandma for a cup.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations,
boldly go where no man has gone before.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and a carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our sides. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look.
Stop. 21 gigawatts!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the West skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations,
boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Hello, everybody. I'm back. All right. Sorry about that. I'm trying to get something resolved here. But anyway, what I was talking about earlier was checking into. Hold on a second. Doggone it. Apologize for that, people. I'm throwing a quick tune. Everybody, I'm back again. Sorry about that. trying to get something resolved and so we can broadcast on another deal, and something wrong with the encoder. Anyway, so back to what I was talking about. I believe that frequency is going to be the key, and that's why my interest is peaked in really high voltage. And there's a lot of different things out there, like the Windhurst and the Van de Graaff, that will produce a lot of high voltage. And there's ways that you can wind wind turbines to produce a lot of high voltage. It's a whole lot easier to produce high voltage than it is to get a massive amount of current watts and amps from the start right out of the gate. And so you can try this. Find you one of the old electric fence chargers, and you make a spark gap across that capacitor and just let that thing charge. Let it charge enough. It actually has some working power potential behind it that I'm talking about. If you can do this fast enough, if you have a large enough capacitor bank and you can do it fast enough, I know for a fact that an 800 microfarad capacitor will blow your thumb off your hand. That's how much stored potential it has capable of. I've run my coils in my lab and charged that capacitor as I was doing it. And keep in mind that I was running my entire system off of a Beckett oil burner igniter, which is running off of a 12-volt battery. And this 12-volt battery, by all rights, should have been dead, but it's actually a lot better than it was whenever I got it to begin with, because of the high voltage running through the plates. I believe that it actually shook loose the crud that builds up that actually makes the battery not function. So it acted sort of like a battery conditioner, and it started off with one dead cell, and now it's a perfectly functioning battery. So there was a benefit either way. But I wasn't just running one coil off of that Beckett oil burner igniter. The oil burner igniter is set up for 20 kV, and it's only a few milliamps. So it's not a massive amount of power in the general sense, but it was able to run over 10 separate coil systems and still charge that capacitor at the same time, leaping across the spark gap, plus do wireless energy transfer at the same exact time. Now, it's already been proven that you can get this energy back into usable current wirelessly. You can also get this energy back into usable current via spark gaps into capacitor banks. And so the key, in my mind, is that you have the proper system, high voltage, whether it be a static charge or whatever, if you can get that energy to spark rapid enough on a capacitor bank, you could literally charge that capacitor and overcharge that capacitor to the extreme that the capacitor itself will fail if you're not using that energy. So, with that said, once it gets past that point, now it's back into usable energy again. And if you look on a small scale, you can hook an LED up to a large capacitor and hit it with a 9-volt battery, and you can watch. It takes a long time to drain that energy off of that capacitor. I've also showed that you could take a large capacitor down to a smaller one, and then down to a smaller one, and so on down the line, and just like pouring water from a large bucket of water to a smaller bucket of water and allowing it to fill down in, the large bucket will obviously be the last one empty, but you can actually watch the flow of the water as it drains down through the entire system from largest to smallest, exactly what you can get when you're running a capacitor bank at the same method. So if you got one big bank, maybe big capacitor that you call, let's say, a dump bank that you can just dump energy into as it's overflowing from charged capacitors from which direction you're getting them. I guess they may call on me. Hello? You're live. Can you hear me? Can I hear you? Hello. Well, I don't hear them. Hate it when that happens. Alright, well, anyway, if you think about the capacitors from large to smallest, you can literally watch the flow of electricity from each capacitor all the way down. You can watch it. Because when the Doggone it, I've been so doggone distracted today from everything under the sun. Alright, well, in the, go check out the video, and I'll throw a link up there in the chat room there of my video called 9 Volts. And you'll see what it is that I'm talking about, because as I charge this system up with a 9-volt battery, you can literally watch the system shutting down independently in sequence, going from the largest bank down to the smallest bank, and it takes a long time before that system ever completely goes offline, before it ever completely runs completely out of energy. It will shut down the systems that require the most and continue to run the systems that require the least. So with that said, you can actually control the timing of that energy to the extent you put your most important system that requires the least amount at the far end, and it'll be the last one to drop. So if you go check out that video right there that I just thrown in the chat room, it's called 9 Volt. And if you're not on the line right now listening on a handheld device, you can go to ShazizRadio.com and there'll be links there, or you can go to YouTube and look up Shaziz and you'll find that video called 9 Volt, and you can see what it is that I'm talking about. Well, imagine you've got systems from every different direction. You've got a wind turbine that is running high voltage and charging across the spark gap down into a capacitor bank, and then also you have a maybe a Lord Kelvin generator that's dropping water down through chambers, which is building up a static charge that is in turn dropping into that large bank as well. Then maybe you have a Van de Graaff generator or a Wimshurst generator running off of whatever it is that you got, whether it would be wind or hydro or thermal, and it's also dumping into that capacitor bank. And maybe you have a earth circuit that is charging up and then discharging as well into it. So you've got energy from all different directions that are dumping into the big pool. And so once you get it, once it's all said and done, they'll drain down on their from the largest to the smallest. I have no idea who called. Anyway, this has been an awkward day because I've been trying to get something going on with this other encoder. Plus, I've been trying. People been keep trying to call me in, and so far, no good. And it's distracting and confusing. Alright, so, anyway, what I'm trying to say is, we have the technology already. The technology has been around forever and a day, all the way back to the mercury arc rectifier that I keep mentioning, and it was designed essentially to rectify AC current into DC current, and I see a whole lot more potential. Let's try this again. Hello, can you hear me now? Anybody? Somebody dialed the whole room in. Alright, Justin did it. Okay, can you hear me?
No.
Alright, you're killing me, man.
What's up?
You're live.
Oh, am I?
Well, yeah, you just dialed the whole mad science crew and yourself on up in on the show.
Oh, whoops.
Alright, well, we're down to the last half hour anyway. Anyway, what I was trying to point out there was that if you understand how electricity works, as far as basically you can equate it to water, you know, water pressure, You got a large pipe and you force that water from the large pipe down to the smaller pipe, then you build up pressure. Well, the same thing applies in electricity. And so with that said, this video called Nine Volts shows that there is a large capacitor, which is an 800 microfarad Mallory capacitor that they use in like bass amps and stuff like that. Well, there is also three other 500K microfarad capacitors that are all run in parallel with one another as well. And so when I tap the 9-volt battery onto the Mallory capacitor, the big blue one that you see in the video, it charges it up to whatever the potential of that battery is, the 9 volts in that system, which then in turn drains down the system and goes from the smallest, from the largest down to the smallest. The one that uses the least amount of energy is the very last one to go off. And I've had that LED running for quite some time after I completely removed the battery from the picture. So if you took and was using high voltage sources from multiple different directions, continuously filling up that first pull, which would have been the Mallory capacitor, then you can continuously keep it charged up enough to run the entire system. And these systems, like I said, will shut themselves down independently, determined by how much energy they need to run. And so if you watch closely in this video, you can actually physically see the flow of electricity as it goes down by every time the LEDs and stuff start to shut down. Like you'll notice in the video, the first thing is that there's three of the capacitors that the 500K capacitors that are going down to run in parallel, and one will start to dim, and then when it gets down low, the next one will start to dim, and so on down the line, and you can follow the entire system down to the very least amount of energy, which is essentially a blinking LED at the other end and a capacitor, and it's still running. The whole entire system doesn't just shut off because you don't have enough energy. So if you have the capabilities to charge with a high voltage from any direction and keep that capacitor filled on demand, you can keep it all running as long as you keep that energy going. So with that said, I say that the high voltage is going to be key, and the frequency range at which you run things is going to be key. If Terry and them were able to light up a tungsten element with some wireless energy transmission, that's pretty impressive as far as I'm concerned. If you're lighting up an LED wirelessly just by holding it in your hand, then there's something to be said about that frequency that I keep talking about. So if you want to try an experiment, find yourself a decent frequency generator, a tone generator, and find a light bulb that won't burn your computer out, a little tungsten element light bulb, or even an LED for that matter. Not sure an LED might be too easy. A regular tungsten light bulb, they come in anywhere from maybe a half a volt, 1.5 volts all the way up to 9, 10, 12 volts and higher all the way up. And put that in series with a speaker and run different frequency ranges to see what you get on the outcome. If you can get that light bulb to light up, then there's got to be something to it. What do you think, Justin? You still there? I see two people in the call. Who all's in here?
I just for a few minutes, what are you talking about? Good morning. Happy New Year, kid.
Hey, Happy New Year. Well, essentially, trying to redefine the way that we use electricity without getting shot or beat up or whatever first. So,
well, I'm not feeling like your teeth. That's all right. Listen to me, actually.
Well, my belief is that it can be done with frequency ranges that you could actually send let's just go basic and go with a regular, nothing more than a coil of wire and an LED. And I've actually seen this done with a tungsten element, and I know because it's been done way back in the, at the very least, the early 20s. They had these coils that were wrapped around a particle board style kind of tube, and then it had a capacitor connected to it, and it had a tungsten element light bulb connected to it, and they used to use these to figure out the range on radio transmission and such. And so I know that it can be done with frequencies, and my friend Muddy, he said he used to take and have a coil of wire and an LED, and he could tell how close his friend was getting by how bright that LED it was every time he keyed up on his CB radio. And so we know that we can actually transmit energy wirelessly through the air, but the key is this. If you can do that same thing with a tungsten element, now you're getting something more, it takes a little bit more energy in order to light that bulb up in the general sense, than their conventional use of energy than what I'm talking about. Because, you know, heat is light and light is heat, vice versa. And so if you can generate with just a frequency range wirelessly enough to light up a tungsten element, you're getting heat off of that thing and you're getting light off of that. It's kind of a two-for-one kind of thing there. But there's something more to be learned by that process than just being able to light up a light bulb. You see where I'm coming from? Anybody? Y'all killing me, man. That's like a radio silence.
I'm trying to put it all together here, what you just told me there. I mean, like I said, I'm a pretty simple guy. I'm not a scientist, but it sounds very, very interesting.
Well, the simple of it is, you know, if you think about how we're using energy right now, we use energy so inefficiently that we waste more than we're using. And proof of that is just in our test equipment alone. I mean, if you take a look at how an amp meter works, you're not actually even plugging into it. You're just kind of wrapping it around the wire. And by the field that's created around that wire, you can tell how many amps is being drawn off of that circuit there. So we're wasting that energy. So imagine if you could tune that back toward just enough to use what it is that you need and nothing more, then number one, you're not wasting it, and you're getting, it's obvious you're not going to get out more than you put in. However, instead of spending a gallon of gas per hour, maybe you're only using a quart per hour, or at least, you know, a small amount per hour, because you're not having to waste so much energy to cram that energy down there. You know, like right now.
Right.
Go ahead.
It's starting to make sense what you're saying.
Yeah.
Very simple.
Well, right now, over there, I think in your guys' neighborhood, if you look at your electric appliances, you'll see that they run around about 50 hertz, which yours would be more efficient energy-wise than ours. And so ours is running at 60 hertz. You know, we're kind of like energy hogs over here. And so what if you could tune that all the way down to just target specific, just the electron itself, enough to get the energy flow that you call electricity, and you could drop it down further than what it is right now with less input, you know?
Right. Yeah, monitor to your point of what you need, not what is being provided.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, if you only need 50 hertz to run the system, then why kick it up to 60 hertz? There's just a small difference there. But that's small. But that small difference could make all the difference in the world on how much fuel it took you to get where you're at right now. You see what I mean?
Exactly.
So these guys are talking about reducing your carbon footprint. I'm not a global warming believer by any stretch of the imagination, and everybody knows that. But either way, if you're going to preach it, then you need to start doing something. As far as, like, you know, you talk about alternative energy. Do you know there's people out there right now that are trying to tax your solar? They're trying to tax your wind. If you're not on their grid, they want to throw a tax on you. Now, it seems to me that if there really is a problem and we really are going to burn up because of man-made global warming, then that would be the last thing you want to do, is tax people for trying to benefit and reduce their carbon footprint. You see where I'm coming from? You know, so, you know, we do pollute our planet. We do what I call the fishbowl effect, you know. We pee and poo in our own fishbowl. But nature's nature's a lot tougher than us. Now, we'll die off and nature will keep on going. But do we have time to wait around for nature to catch up to our shenanigans? I don't think so. And so with that said, if there is definitely an energy crisis, which there obviously is, if we're out there fighting over oil and resources in the world, then there must be an energy crisis according to somebody's belief. But if you took and learned from nature from the get-go, when's the last time you got a bill from the river, you know, or the sun, or the wind? And you're not violating any laws of physics by tapping into the river and getting you a water wheel that's generating electricity. And if you do it properly, you're not even going to interfere with the environment, such as the fish or the blue-spotted tuna that's going to be swimming downstream to mate or something.
So we're not going to add some nuclear isotopes to the water?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that would be a great idea, huh? I was down in the ocean yesterday, Shazam, and I did a dive yesterday, my friend, and I don't want to change the subject, but I saw firsthand yesterday the effects of what's going on in the Pacific Ocean. I was out yesterday to a place called Tremont with Dana Dunford, the nuclear proctologist, and I did an effect to about 30 people on the surface, and I saw very, very, very little sea life. Nothing compared to what I would see there diving 4, 5, or 6 years ago, which I did to this. I've built that water out there for years. I haven't done a lot in the last 10 years because I've been older. But at parts of my life, I was out there diving regularly, and it's literally, you would remember, a panorama of color 15 feet underneath the water. Well, it's a real tide line. It's just a panorama of color. And I didn't see that yesterday, my friend.
Well, see, and that's...
I had a very disturbing day yesterday.
That's scary, because people don't seem to realize how serious the situation is. If you start losing doggone ocean, there's the food chain goes. That's the top right there. You know, we say we're the top of the food chain, but if you look at nature, our oceans and the fish in those oceans, they provide for a lot of people and a lot of creatures. And
that's a statement that any scientist in the world would make, and it's been said millions and millions of times before. If we kill the ocean, we're going to kill life on the planet. And right now, my friend, I am seeing stuff that disturbs the heck out of me. We saw very, very few birds. We ran for 20 miles yesterday, guys, and I saw maybe 15, 20 birds since the time I left Prince Rupert Harbor, where normally I would be flying out in my boat 20 years ago, and a log here would have 20 seagulls on it, and a log over there would have 20 blackbirds on it, and a log over there would have herons on it. And I saw very little yesterday. There's a remarkable drop-off in my mind from what I've seen before.
Well, so I can tell you where they went. They're all going inland looking for food. You know, I ain't joking. I'm in the heartland, okay? I seen seagulls in the local city lake, all right? Now, why are they this far in? If there's not something going on in that direction, they wouldn't be this far down. And instead of the birds flying south for the winter like they normally do, they're flying around in circles and coming back. So we got birds out here in our weather, which should be right now. A blizzard outside is ridiculous. They had 6 inches of snow in Southern California. They had 8 feet of snow in New York.
It's raining here in Canada right now.
It's raining in Paris right now, Shazus, and this time of year, it should be like 20 below zero. Yesterday, all my trip to Rupert and back on that highway this time of year, I don't normally dive. It's a hazard. Yesterday, it was clear and wet. And that's very, very abnormal for this time of year, up this country here. We're way up north here.
Well, the first thing they need to stop doing is boiling water with radioactive material. That was the stupid thing from the start. And they should have known that ahead of time. All right?
I think that's the stupidest thing a human race has ever done, should it?
Yeah, but, you know, it's not beyond the realms of stopping it. It's just that you can't get nobody to pay attention long enough to stop it. First off, they got to stop dumping that stuff into the doggone ocean because it's blatantly obvious that you're x-raying the crud out of a wildlife down there in that general vicinity, which that's chasing them all off in the opposite direction because they're not going to stay there and fry if they know they're being fried. But
where do they go if all the oceans are getting fried? Where are the fish going to go?
Well,
we're seeing die-off. We're seeing, you know what, yesterday I was walking around the piers and you know, years ago, I would see hundreds of starfish everywhere, and not one yesterday. Not a single starfish could I find. Not one. And that really shocked me to the core. Dan has been reporting on this. I wanted to go see it for myself. And I didn't sleep well yesterday, last night, buddy. It's really, really disturbing. So, I mean, I think, honestly, Shazin, that I don't know at this point what the damage that is being done if we can save the ocean unless we come up with some method of neutralizing all of the nuclear activity that's been released into the ocean to this day. And I believe that technology will come to that point where we can, through plasma generators or some way of neutralizing the isotopes that have been released already into the ocean, and maybe the food chain will recover. But, you know, I look at this whole scenario of nuclear power and I go, wow, you know, Mother Nature, she lives in a very, very powerful energy. She has been here for millions and millions of years. The Earth has gone through extinction events.
Yeah.
But the Earth has never, never, never had thousands or hundreds of little red weasels all over the planet now. And these little weasels are all built close to fault lines. And when these little weasels erupt, the whole planet is going to be covered in radiation. We think that Fukushima is bad, should this. We have laid down a legacy on this planet that's going to fight us on the butt that we cannot believe, and we have to get rid of it. That's my cry and my hope for the future, is that nuclear power is completely eliminated off this planet.
Well, and we can do it.
We're going to kill the planet, buddy. We're going to kill ourselves.
We could do it, but how you get the doggone jerks at the top to pay attention to what the guys down?
The bottom people have to do this, buddy. The people at the top will never listen to it. You know that. I know that. This has to start through little groups like right now, people listening, and all of a sudden the lights will come on in their brain and they'll go, hey, if we don't start addressing this issue, what are we going to have for our children? What kind of a legacy are we laying down right now? If any of this information that these gentlemen are talking about is true, shouldn't I be doing something about it? Shouldn't I be calling my politicians? Man, people have to wake up. And you know what it's going to take, Shazam? It's going to take a collapse of the food chain for people to wake up and say, hey, something's wrong. But by then, you know and I know it's going to be too late, but
yep.
You got to address this now.
We're already over the cliff as far as I'm concerned of what we've gotten ourselves into. Now, the best thing that we can do right now at this point is damage control. And damage control is going to start with figuring out a way to stop that doggone radioactive water going in over there at Fukushima. Now, obviously, they don't feel that it's that big of a concern, and so they're not really doing nothing about it. But when you talk about all the wildlife in there, there's other factors in there besides that radioactive material that have played out for a long time, and that goes all the way back to that BP oil spill. And I told them way back when, you do not want to put that doggone corrector in the ocean. If you look at how this stuff works, man, it's supposed to eat the oil. It's supposed to, you know, what it's ended up doing is basically making the oil sink down to the bottom. Well, if it is indeed eating oil, we all know that there is oil in every living creature out there, including us. And so it's not doing them any good at all. But if it ends up being a biological thing, you know, like, yeah, you can put this stuff in a septic tank. I can't remember what the heck you call the name of it. But essentially, it's bacteria that you put in the septic tank to help break down waste and such. Well, that's a living deal going on there. You know, that actually creates bacteria inside there. Well, if this corrects, it turns out to be, instead of just some sort of chemical that binds to it, it turns out to be something that is actually a living entity, then it's possibly that it's replicating enough to where it's killing off the fish as well as getting rid of the oil. You're going to have pretty water, but all dead fish in it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Exactly, Shaziz. It's like everything we do to the ocean is detrimental. I mean, who gives us the right to even experiment with a chemical like that in the bottom of the food chain that supplies all food to the planet Earth?
Yeah.
I mean, we have to. I mean, it's insanity. It is.
And what you talk? Obsolescence. Huh? Planned obsolescence.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and first off, they shouldn't put that in there because there were so many different other safe alternatives. There was a guy that was talking about, hey, you know, we can absorb this stuff up with straw and get it out of the water, you know. And I also put other ideas in there that, you know, because we know that oil floats, instead of sinking it to the bottom and killing off the starfish, you get it out of the water.
That would have been a great idea, shouldn't it? That was the answer. Burn it up, take it in a boat, take it to land, and burn it off.
But instead, they threw all that Corexit in there, and that Corexit has spread, you know? And it's done a lot of damage.
Well, I think mankind really has to wake up to the fact that we are killing the oceans, shouldn't it? If we kill the oceans, people have to look at themselves in the mirror and go, well, if we kill the oceans, we're going to kill life on the planet, and what are we leaving for our children?
Well,
that's the question I ask myself every day. What are we doing?
It's a shame that, you know, it's going to take the doggone people to go to the grocery store and not see any bread on the counter before they realize what it is that they're doing. You know, genetically modified this and modified that. You know, you don't tamper with nature, all right? Nature's going to fight back, guaranteed. But if it comes down to where you can't get no bread on the doggone store shelves, then you're going to have to take notice. But by that time, it's too late. You know, the elite are already in their bunker, and they got a few years that they can survive, but not even never going to get past nature. No way. You know?
They think they are, Shaziz, but she's going to deal them a nasty blow, too.
Oh, yeah.
They're the ones responsible for all this crap that we're seeing on the planet and corporations.
Is it them or is it us?
That's kind of a big question. I think society is a society.
We need to stand up and walk out.
We need to stand up, but we've been brainwashed, and I was part of society up to the point where I really kind of sat back and started looking at what's going on. And I can see everybody else that's in society, they've got their jobs, they've got their houses, they can still go to the grocery store. Sure, they hear a little bit about this, they hear a little bit about that. But still, it's not affecting their lives. Sure, they see a little bit more tax come in, but they still don't have enough money they can go out and spend the weekend, they can go for dinner. Instead of things really radically changing people's lives, people aren't going to become active. They're just complacent. Our society is dumbed down, and that's what we have to keep right now. We have to make people aware that this is something that they can't ignore.
Well, then what we need to be is good educators, you know. We need to take the
initiative.
Yeah.
Society is no different than a bad relationship that you've been in for 15 years. You've gotten so comfortable with being there that you just don't need to leave.
Right, and if you got knocked out of that relationship, you're knocked out of your comfort zone. That's exactly what society doesn't want. Some people, when you start talking to them about this stuff, they shut right up, they back right up, because they don't want to do it.
They know something's wrong, Justin,
so they don't want to hear it.
Yes,
they want to
know.
They just want to put a little shield on themselves.
They
want to pretend that everything's going to be all right.
Yeah.
Next year's going to be the same, the year after's going to be the same, everything's fine. Government will look after a problem. Science will look after a problem. Don't worry about nothing.
You should see me whenever I'm out there talking alternative energy to some folks, right? I have to bring it all the way down into the simple of the simple. Would you like to never have to pay an electric bill again? Now, they understand that. Sure, that'd be great, you know. But they don't understand electricity in a general sense, as this has not been taught in school, you know. I mean, And then there are those who are literally over-educated, as far as I'm concerned, because they're stuck in a rut. They won't look outside the box. But yet, all of which will stand around and complain when things don't go the way that they should be going, such as, you know, the lights go out. Oh, well, the doggone power company, well, you know, the doggone you didn't have a backup plan. We need a backup plan for humanity because, like you said, man, once the ocean's gone, It's gone. You know? Ain't no getting it back.
I never thought in my life I'd be able to sit here and have this kind of conversation with anybody. Because it's beyond anything that I ever thought that I'd have to deal with in my life or face as a reality. But it is a reality. And I spend as much time as I can trying to talk to people and tell them that, you know, this is something that we have to look at. We have to deal with it. If we don't deal with it, we are not going to have a future on this planet. And when you say that to people, of course, it gets the shackles up. But I know a lot of people are listening. Yeah? A lot of people are waking up. A lot of people are becoming aware, especially up here with the situations in the ocean. A lot of the local people are starting to become aware of it.
So, well, we have the technology.
We have the technology. I believe it. I believe we do. To fix the problem.
Yeah, we have the technology to fix every single problem out there. If we could just get enough of the average Joe out there to listen to what...
Demand it.
Yeah. Well, basically what I'm trying to say, you know, whenever there's a movie that has a crisis going on, all right, they usually put this big old board up and they'll mark out what needs to be addressed the most important deal right out of the gate, and then all the brilliant minds come together and they'll figure out a solution. Well, that's what we need to be doing. We need to have our deal up there and say, look, this is one problem over here that's the most important. We need to address that and work our way downhill to the least problem and go with that. I mean, as humanity, we have the technology to turn it around. But whether or not we're going to get humanity at the same table to cooperate with one another. Right now, we still got people over there bombing each other, man. You know? How we ever going
to... Yeah. I don't know. That's going to be the challenge.
How we ever going to get people to sit down at the doggone table? And it's probably going to take exactly what you said. It's probably going to take everybody's power going off, some massive calamity that humanity realizes that, you know, we either work together or we die. That's probably what it's
going to
take. You know?
It might, because like I said, society seems to be in a very, very dumbed-down state, and that, of course, is lots of reasons for that. Everything that we've been exposed to, the chemicals in our society, everything that's happened in the last 40, 50 years has been designed to dumb us down and make us little robots and follow the TV and program yourself.
Well, it's obsolescence.
The light bulb, they used to make light bulbs. They still have a light bulb that's running for 100 years. It's planned obsolescence. They make everything like that so that we buy.
Justin.
Because if we're not consuming, there's no progression.
Justin.
Exactly.
I've got an old Edison bulb that still works to this very day. Literally.
Yeah, because it was designed properly. Everything is designed to have low hours on it.
It's designed to fail for the entire more.
And obsolescence.
Since we're running down to the last 6 minutes of the show is this, to everybody out there, all the researchers out there, people who care about the planet and all that kind of stuff, you know, look, there's a lot of things that need to be protested, and there's a lot of things that need to be done, but, you know, going out throwing bloody paint on your local congressman ain't doing it, you know. You're going to have to show them, you're going to have to teach them, because for some reason or another, I call them the walking, educated, stupid people, because they just don't get it, you know. You got to point these things out to them somehow or some way in a respectful manner and make them understand that, you know, while they're fattening up their wallet, they're killing their kids' future, you know. We are the founding fathers, the mothers and sisters and brothers and so on of our children and our children's children's future. Right now, we stand at a point in time at a crossroads that we can either go one of two directions. We can keep going the way that we're going, and we can ensure that all of our children are going to have to suffer for whatever miserable life they have left down in the future, or we can take all the knowledge that we've got and we can work towards making this heaven on earth, this utopia we all keep dreaming about. It is possible. We have all the resources. We've got exotic materials of epic proportions. We are not stupid by any means. I mean, for Pete's sake, every one of us has probably got a doggone cell phone that we can send pictures and all kinds of information, enough processing power in your hand to do amazing things. and yet we can't figure out how to not throw polluted stuff into the water and not kill our fish. You know what I mean? We have the technology, folks. It's just going to be up to, especially the alternative energy researchers. You guys out there and gals, I'm telling you what, you are the only hope for humanity, and that's to keep on thinking outside the box and putting that information out there, hopefully waking other people up to think outside the box. There is no energy crisis. There never has been an energy crisis. The only crisis is the intelligence crisis that humanity has found itself in. We've allowed people at the tip top of the pyramid up there to not only get wealthy off of us, but to tax what nature has given us to begin with. They don't own the sun, but they're going to try to make some money off of it. They don't own the wind, but they're going to try to make some money off of it. And the water, same as that. I mean, anytime you see that a bottle of water costs $1 a bottle, which is, if you calculate it up, it's more expensive than a gallon of gasoline. And there's more energy potential in a bottle of water than a gallon of gasoline any day. But yet, we're not using that energy potential, you know?
One man owns the entire water of the world, Nestle.
Well,
you think you got choice, you go to the grocery store, you see 20 different kinds of water. But then if you read them all, it all says followed by Nestle.
Yeah, truth be told, though, brother, if you don't buy is what he's selling, you can get it for free. I mean, all you got to do is learn a few filtration techniques, and there's water running all over this planet. This planet is 3/4 covered in water. Stop paying for it. You know, learn ways to filter your own water.
That's where they scare you. Oh, if you do that, we're going to put you in jail. We're going to fine you.
That's where you don't tell them about it. You make you want get you one of them little survival sippy straws, and when they ain't looking, you dip it down the creek and take a drink.
that's not right, though, that I should have to hide and feel guilty. It's almost like being at somebody's house that you don't
know,
and you grab a slice of pizza, and you're like, you kind of like waiting for them to tell you, go ahead, you know what I mean?
You got to make the best out of a bad situation. If right now we find ourselves into a situation where they say you can't have solar panels outside your house because of your homeowners association don't like the way it looks, well then hide it in your pool. I mean, come on, man. Look at these guys in prison. They figure out ways to do things all the time. It ain't legal according to their rules, but they figure it out. You know, that's all I'm saying. You're a whole lot smarter than you give yourself credit for, man. And we have all the tools, all the technology. All we got to do is put the pieces of the puzzle together and beat them at their own game. If you ain't buying their water, then guess what? The price of water goes way down. If nobody's buying the water, then it turns out to be free again. You see what I'm saying? Well, guys, we're down to the last minute of the show. It's been brilliant. Maybe you guys can join me at the Knights of the Round Table tomorrow, and we can take up where we left off. What do you think?
I'd like that.
All right, well, everybody stay tuned. The podcast for the Hope Show is coming up next. And so with that said, thanks for listening to Mad Science. Peace and love, everybody. Stay tuned.
21 gigawatts!
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.